Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside episode titled Love, what it is and how to know if it's healthy.
Love.
We love being here. So like I said, today we're going to talk about the emotion of love and all that it entails. At the time of this drop, it's currently a few weeks removed from the holiday that was built around love and relationships, which is Valentine's Day. It's not everybody's favorite, but we will acknowledge it here because we are a bunch of lovers. So the question I had when I was listening to you talk about this was, how do we know if we are in love? And you did mention that a little bit on the pod, and you talked about resonance playing a big key there. Can you talk a little bit more about that resonance and how, if we know we're in love?
Yeah. So think about, like, if you had a piano in a room and you had a crystal chandelier hanging from the ceiling, very often one key, one note on that piano, if you ring it, it will be in resonance with one crystal in that chandelier, and it'll cause it to vibrate. None of the others will vibrate, only the one that it's in resonance with. They're in harmony, okay? We know what voices sound like when they're in harmony. We hear beautiful harmonies. You think back, like, to the Everly Brothers or Crosby, Stills, and Nash, like beautiful harmonies, right? They blend very well together. They all complement each other in a way. There's nothing detracting from that. And when we fall in love with another person, there are several parts of our personality that are in harmony with that person. In other words, we're like, if you come from the law of vibration, we're on the same vibration as that person. We're vibrating. We're on the same frequency as that individual. Also within the aspect of the romantic sex idea being behind it, right? So because there's love, like, you love your children, but there's not a sex piece there. You love your dog, but there's not a sex piece there. And it's a love, right? Like, you have great deep emotion, you know, for your kids, for your pet, for, you know, other people in life. But when we're talking about being in love with somebody who is a partner, romantic partner, it's on every level of our being. And, or it should be anyway, right? I think that if a person was coming more dominant from one part of their being, they could be very much on one level with that person, but the rest are not quite there. But then that's out of balance. So that was kind of one of the reasons why we did this podcast episode, was it to kind of show that if you have all of you, if you get to know your whole being, right, your values, your ethics, the way you work, the way you make love, the way you interact with other people, the way you see the world, those things are in harmony together. We're on love on all of those different planes of our existence. So we're in harmony in all of those areas. Problem with most people is that they take one part of their personality that becomes a dominant trait, that they're confident in that one piece, and they lead in the world that way. So they lead their life through the world with that one piece, right? So it could be like a guy being a tough guy, or for some people, it's being an academic, being smart. It might be somebody being masculine. It might be somebody being feminine. It might be a skill set that they're very good at. It might be a hobby. It might be something that they do for enjoyment or pleasure, whatever. But they take these one or two things and they kind of lead themselves through the world that way. They end up looking for other people that are leading themselves through the world that way. So they click on that one or two dominant things that are in our life. But the rest of the stuff's undeveloped. So we really don't know who we are in all these other areas. And the other person doesn't know who they are in all of these areas. Like, that would be well enough, but here's the problem. It's not just that we don't know who we are, but we become insecure in those areas of our life. So maybe I'm like one-on-one, we're really great, but in a room of people, I shut down, right? Because I'm an introverted person, I'm shy, I'm bashful, I'm very insecure around other individuals, whatever. all of these different pieces of our personality, if we don't start to develop them and get to know who we are, and we raise them to the level of the way we want them to be versus how they were programmed in us as kids or how we reacted to our childhood, we develop a lot of insecurities. And then we're looking for somebody else that helps us not to feel insecure. But we only resonate on that one piece. And then here's another big piece. And I actually didn't talk about this in the podcast. I probably should have. And that's that most people are walking around with such a need for approval from other people that when they get that kind of approval that mixes both I'm approving you as a person and a romantic partner, the stimulation for that becomes so great that they then associate that with love. That becomes the love bug for them in a way. And it's like a drunk, right? It's a drug. It really fogs the mind in being able to see all the other qualities of the person and the qualities of yourself to determine like, okay, this was a pretty cool person, but let's see their whole character, right? What am I dealing with this person here? And we never find a perfect person. So the things that are not perfect about them, can I deal with them? Do they have the same values? Like, are they willing to work on things in their life? You know, what is all that about? So that's kind of where it all starts. And then when you start to know yourself and develop yourself, then you become confident. You become confident in all these different areas of your life. So then it's more easy and more confident for you to sit across from somebody else at dinner or on a date or whatever and ask questions and say, here's what I'm for. Here's what I'm not for. Here's what I like. Here's what I don't like. No judgment if you don't agree, but this is where I am. Where are you? You know? And then if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. We shouldn't let the feeling, that little feeling, override some big flaws in people that are glaring, but we like want to push them under the table because we really want that security. And my God, you approve of me. And I don't know if anybody else ever will, you know, like you see me and it's okay. And you know, I'm just going to grab that while I can.
Yeah, for sure. I think the theme that I'm getting from this and from the podcast episode itself is it really starts with yourself. Like the ability to love yourself first and foremost and know what it is that you want and what you don't want is going to be helpful going into any sort of relationship. And I think that a lot of people maybe go into relationships and they find that person that, you know, basically is the one, you know, they talk about the one, and then they mask all these other things that aren't quite right, but they've locked in, like you said, on that one piece. While I'm thinking of it, the concept of soulmates, where do you stand on that whole soulmate argument? Because Steph and I have had conversations recently about this and various movies we've watched and soulmates. Where do you stand on that whole soulmate thing?
I don't know. It sounds good in books, right?
It does. And in movies as well. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. I really don't know. All of my education says no, right? It's a romantic idea. It's a lovely idea. It's like anything else. It can be good. It can be harmful. I suppose it depending on how you use it. I really, if I'm really honest about it, I don't think that there's a soulmate. There's 7.5 billion of people on the planet, right? There's a lot of people we could be in harmony with to an exquisite level, by the way, right? So, but just one person flying through the universe to meet you at the right time, like I said, it sounds good in books and movies.
But yeah, I'm not so that's, sure that's I fall in the same. I fall in the same area. I mean, the romantic side of me wants to believe there's that one true love for you. But the reality is, with the amount of people, science would say otherwise. And if you think about it, you know, there's plenty of people out there that, you know, you would definitely resonate with. And I love the piece about resonance. And I love you talking about that idea of the piano key. I've heard that many times. And I think it's just a beautiful way to look at it. Like there's people out there that we're going to resonate with on a level that is, maybe it's love, maybe it's not, but whatever it is, it can be a whole hell of a lot of fun.
I think, excuse me, if and when you meet the right person, where you really click on all those levels. And when I say that, by the way, it doesn't mean that there's things you don't agree or disagree on. There absolutely would be things that you would disagree on. But they're not things that underpin value and ethics and like the important factors in a way a person runs their life. But I think that when you hit on multiple levels, that feeling is so amazing with a person that we feel like we met a soulmate in the way that we understand it. Like this, like I feel so amazing with this person and this person so gets me and it's exquisite being with them. And we have so much fun and, you know, it's almost like there's a third entity between us when we're together because everything lights up and the world is so much brighter and, you know, all of that. I think it's a nice romantic idea, you know, but I mean, logic and statistics would say that's not accurate.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
One other thing. Sure. Sorry to cut you off.
That's okay.
If that was true, okay, I do believe that more people would find that. And things like divorce wouldn't be so high. The reason being is that if there was a soulmate thing, it would be a component of truth in the universe. So it would be more abundant and more prevalent. We would see it. We would know it. We would know how to navigate it. We would know more how to find that. And statistics would say that that's completely not true.
Right. Oh, that's great. That's a good way to look at it. In the episode, you shared a Thomas Troward quote, actually a few times over the course of that episode, and I'll read that here as a refresh. We cannot think into manifestation a different sort of life to that which we realize in ourselves. Yeah. So when we look back at that quote, would you mind just revisiting the meaning of that so the listeners can kind of get on board with what it is that Troward meant by that quote?
Yeah. So very often, when we have a problem in our life, and in this case, we'd be talking about relationships, we look at the person and we blame the person. The person becomes the point of contention. This person is doing this. This person is doing that. We usually have the factual evidence to back it up. The person's a cheater. They're an addict. They're abusive. They have no ambition. You know, they don't treat the kids well. They don't want to be a father. They don't want to be a mother. They're, you know, they're selfish. Like we have all of the anecdotal evidence to say this is who this person is. And very few of us actually look at ourselves and go, huh, that person may be who that person is. However, I manifested that person. So what does that say about me that I didn't see all these things beforehand? Now, you couldn't possibly see everything beforehand, but the signs are there if you're looking with your eyes open, you know, if you're really not letting love take over everything and become the determining factor, because it is, you know, it is very much irrational, let's put it that way. And you spend enough time with someone, you're going to see things. You're going to see chinks in the armor, so to speak. And those should be points of investigation within a relationship to determine what is this? Is this something bigger? Is it not? What's the person's viewpoint on this? How do they deal with it? How do they trust themselves? How do they show up in life on a regular basis? What's their heart? Is this really a good person? Just had a bad day or like what it is? So, and Troward was pointing out that if we come from the place of trying to think about, well, I don't want this person, I need to find somebody else, without realizing that what we just manifested is in us. Because here's the thing, the behavior may be different than our behavior. So a person may do something where you say, well, shit, I don't want to be in a relationship with that person, right? Maybe it's cheating and you're not a cheater, right? You say, well, I'm not a cheater. That doesn't make any sense. No, but cheating's not the cause of the problem. What's the cause? Is the cause insecurity? Because if it is, then that's that you have the same problem. It's just manifesting different in you. It may be manifesting different in you in toleration. It may be manifesting in you that you want to go through life with the blinders on and you don't really want to see what the truth is. Whatever it is, I'll guarantee you the cause of whatever's causing their poor, ill behavior, that cause is in you also. So that's what Troward's pointing out. Like if you want to change something, stop trying to think about changing them and really ask yourself, what is it in me that's causing this same issue over and over again? And then go to work there first. So it's getting to know yourself more. When you eliminate it in yourself, you won't attract that person because you'll see it a mile away and you'll be like, no, thank you. Right. Not doing that.
Yeah, that's great. Can you share your thoughts? And I assume you just kind of answered this, but I'll ask the question anyway since it's up. Can you share your thoughts on why love changes over time, even with those we hold most dear? I mean, we are constantly evolving. I assume that's what it has to do with. Why does love change so drastically over time, even with the ones who are closest to us?
Are you referring to the feeling of love?
Yeah, the feeling of love, like the love struck right out of the gate, hot and heavy. I mean, you can't even be away from this person for a minute. And then over time, life, marriage, kids, whatever it might be, it just sort of fades away.
Because one of the biggest factors in that feeling for the first meeting to 6 months to a year, right, or whatever the honeymoon period is newness.
The new fresh.
Newness, excitement, right? It's part of one of our human needs is new experiences. And very, you know, everybody has their own way of getting excited with a new experience or anticipation or whatever. We look forward to things, right? It's part of human nature. And when we first meet a person like that, it's all very new, right? There's also a sense of danger in there because things are unexpected. Is this going to work out? Are they going to be good in bed? Are we going to do something cool? You know, like what, you know, what, there's a lot of newness going on there. When we're in the relationship for a long period of time, the newness wears off. So what ends up happening is that the brain becomes conditioned to the response when you're with this person. We know how they're going to behave. We know how we're going to react to that behavior. Then it becomes day after day after repetition, right? So then it becomes unconscious. So we literally go unconscious with our behavior with this individual. There's a lot to be said for, this is why relationships take work. Because in order to keep that spark alive, you have to create newness in the relationship, right? You have to consciously put the effort in to do something fun, to change things up in bed, to take a different vacation, to try something that you guys have never tried before. So then what ends up happening is you're both experiencing, even though you're together and that's not new, you're experiencing new things together, which is a different, I think it's like, that's kind of when the relationship gets really cool, because all the trust is already there between the two of you, right? So you can share things on a much more intimate level and really get off on what that feels like together, because you also don't have the uncertainty. But Karl Lagerfeld said something one time that I when I first heard it, I was like, I like this. Wasn't sure why I liked it, but I liked it. And he was actually talking about friendships, but I think it works the same thing for relationship. He's like, with relationships, you always have to have the sort of Damocles hanging over the head of the relationship. It can't ever get too familiar, because if it does, one person takes advantage of the other one, one person builds resentment towards another one, it starts whittling away, the rot begins to grow from with each. So both people, like on a level, a value level, is that you're both going to work on keeping it new and interesting to the best that you can. And hey, let's face it, right? So you get in a relationship, you get married or live together, whatever it is, routine starts setting in, she's working, he's working, or he and he, or she and she, or whatever, however your relationship is, and maybe kids are coming in, like all of the responsibilities of life are taking over, and we're busy as fuck. I mean, you know, I raised four kids. I mean, it was nonstop for 30 years, basically, you know, raising those kids. So when do you put the time in to think of something new when you have a mountain of responsibility in your life and you're tired and it's like, can't we just order a pizza and watch a movie tonight? And by the end of it, you're too fucking tired for sex, in many, many cases. You see this in relationships all the time. I think it's like anything else, like when I teach with business or making money, it has to be calendared. You've got to put the effort into it. Okay, it's my week, or we're going to come up with a different way to surprise each other, or we're going to calendar our sex at least to the point where it's not something that gets old, but it's something that it's new. And maybe you come up with creative things, like one person wants to try something they never tried before. So you figure that out and bring it. Let's give it a try. Or let's go someplace different. Let's try a different food. Let's pick a random couple and go have dinner with them and just get to know them. Let's go to the jockey club, or let's go see a scary movie. And even if we don't like scary, let's do something different to kind of liven it up. And I think what you find, like with anything else, because I do this a lot I guess with life in general, like you've complimented me this a lot on a lot, like the ability to see things that most people don't see in everyday things like movies, books, music, whatever. I'm always looking for something new in everything, right? That's why I'll read books over and over and over again or watch movies many, many times. As we grow, we see something in something that we didn't see before. It's not that it wasn't there. We didn't see it. We grew. And I think it's the same thing for relationships. We can see different levels of greatness in our partner and different levels of a lot of different things in our partner if we're all growing. You know, if you're growing, the relationship stays new to some extent, right? And which can be fun. Can be a lot of fun. If it doesn't, it starts to get old. I mean, any relationship, though, not just a lover relationship, any relationship, if you're not growing, it just gets old. What are you going to talk about the 1942 Yankees all day? Right. I mean, you have to put some effort. You have to put some effort into it in order to keep it exciting. It takes work.
Yeah, all relationships, like you said, not just romantic relationships here, but also just friendships in general. They take a lot of work. It's a two-way street. It can't be one-sided. And when you were talking about that, I was thinking about how my relationships have evolved over time. And I do realize the importance of you have to love yourself first, you know, because if you don't do that, there were many times where Steph was on a growth trajectory. I was not. I wasn't emotionally available to her. She was outgrowing me. And I had a frank conversation with you years and years and years ago where you basically told me, pulled me aside and said, look, you have everything in front of you. If you don't make significant changes in your own life, you're going to lose everything, including that woman over there. And I took that to heart. I'll never forget that conversation.
I remember it too.
And it took a while for me to get there to understand it. And to this day, I am a work in progress when it comes to love and being vulnerable and open. But I can tell you I'm a whole lot better now than I was a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Tremendously
and
different.
It's amazing when you put in the work like anything else. You go to the gym, you lift weights, your body's going to reflect that. You lace up your sneakers and go for a run, your body's going to show that. Your mind is going to show and your heart is going to show when you put in the work for that love piece. And whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship relationship, a relationship with your children, the work you put in, you're going to be able to see it. It might not show up as a muscle right away, but it's definitely inside there and you can pull from it.
For the first few years that I knew you, your default approach to being in groups of people or with new people was to be the funniest guy in the room.
Totally.
You don't do that much anymore.
No.
I watch you with people and you have intimate conversations and it's like, that is huge because you couldn't go there before. And I see that you do that with clients. You do that like when we're out having fun. It doesn't matter where we are. We can be in a cab together going someplace and you're having an intellectual conversation with the cab driver. You know, it's amazing how much you've grown. It really is.
Thank
like,
you.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
to that.
No, thank you so much. And it's been work too, but I love that you bring that work piece in because it's definitely a big part of this. Before we walk off, couple of things. There are a few former podcasts that you've done on this show that I'd like the listeners to possibly go back and listen to again. The first one was called Addicted to Dysfunction, and that was about dysfunctional relationships and what love looks like. That was episode 18, so that's way back. Then you also made reference to this on the podcast. It was actually a title of one of yours back at episode 32 called You Can't Make Sense of Crazy. And I think that's an important relationship podcast to go back and listen to as well, because it gives people a background as to what you were meaning when you said that. So I definitely want people to go and check those two out. Last thing, have you seen the series called Modern Love on Amazon Prime Video?
No.
So it's really interesting. So I definitely recommend it to those people who are listening or watching this. It's all about love in its complicated forms. And it actually was based off of a New York Times column where readers would write in their stories of love. And it's started back in like 2004, I believe. And it's all about love from real people doing real things. So it's not romantic comedy like, it's more like this is real. So I'd encourage people to go and watch it because it's a brilliant look at what love looks like from people who are writing this in. And I got really into this series. It's only about 10 episodes or 8 episodes and it's on Amazon Prime Video. I loved it so much that I actually went and bought the book so I could get more of these columns that they've been writing in the New York Times. it's simply sublime because it's not, you know, the guy always gets the girl in the end or the girl always gets the guy in the end. There's actually like, there's loss. There's love lost, love found. There's old love. There's young love. It's just really, it really warmed my heart. And the fact that I could even feel it was another reason where I said, wow, you've really grown to the point where you can feel that love. And that was because you have to love yourself first. So definitely for those of you out there, go and check that out. I loved it. I'm sure you will too. So any last words of advice for those lovers out there, David, to send them on the way?
Love yourself first. Take the time. It's worth it. The short period of time. And look, here's the other thing. If you're young, if you're in your teens and your 20s, really take the time to get to know yourself first. Date a lot of people. Get comfortable meeting people. Get comfortable saying no, right? Especially for the females out there. Get really comfortable saying no. Men too, though. But I mean, get comfortable setting boundaries. Really get comfortable in your own skin around a variety of people. When you get really comfortable so that basically nobody makes you nervous to sit down and talk to them again, you can pretty much be assured that you'll sit down with a person from a romantic perspective and be able to hold your own without being overcome. Love is something that we can choose how much we're going to allow ourselves to fall into or what we're going to give it. You know, I really disagree with this whole thing, and you see this in literature all the time. You can't help the person that you fall in love with. You can't choose that. You can't help that. I think that's bullshit. That is emotional immaturity. Yes, you can determine who you're going to fall. Well, you can allow yourself to fall in love or not to fall in love with a person. It's about, you know, getting a hold of your own emotions and not allowing yourself to do a deep dive in the sake of being romantic. A lot of romantic ideas are actually very dysfunctional. I know there's a lot of people out there, they're going to cringe when I say that because they're romantics at heart. And I am too. I love being romantic in relationships, and I love doing things for people in general. However, there is a place where you put romance ahead of consciousness, you're really looking for a bad trip. Not good.
That is the best way to walk off here. So I love, no pun intended, well, yeah, there was,
yeah,
that you said that. So thanks for coming inside, David.
All right, later, T.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.